I know that the Lord is with us, but it's hard to make people understand that God is a spirit, and that every thought that comes from the human heart, that it has to be gendered by one form of life or another form of life. Every thought, every disposition, every reflect of your body, every intent of your heart, there has to be a life that prompt, that reflect, that disposition, that thought, that intent. There has to be a life behind that. And every time that you vary one iota from the Word of God and the mind of Christ and the love of God, you are thus guilty of transgression against the Almighty God. It's no wonder the Bible tells us that God looked down at them that dwell in houses of clay and saw them to be as a filthy garment in his sight, saying that if his angels were not found clean in his sight, but taking his angels, finding them unclean in his sight, and casting them down to hell, how much more doth he see iniquity in those that dwell in houses of clay? How much more does he behold the iniquity? How much do we need his favor? How much do we need his love? How much do we need his grace? You say then, well, Brother Pike, how then can I find grace? The Bible teaches to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he might exalt you in due season. And to have grace is only one way. He giveth more grace to the humble. Reading from the book of Proverbs in the 20th chapter, the first verse. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. The fear of a king is as the roaring of a lion. Whoso provoketh him to anger sinneth against his own soul. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. Counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Most men will proclaim every one his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. A king that sitteth in the throne of judgment scattereth away all evil with his eyes. Who can say, I have made my heart clean? I am pure from my sins. Divers weights and divers measures, both of them are alike abomination to the Lord. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. The hearing ear and the seeing eye the Lord hath made even both of them. Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. It is naught, saith the buyer, but when he is gone his way, then he boasteth. There is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. Take his garment that is surety for a stranger, and take a pledge of him for a strange woman. Bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterward his mouth shall be filled with gravel. Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets, therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. An inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. Divers weight are an abomination unto the Lord, and a false balance is not good. Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? It is a snare to the man who devoureth that which is holy, and after vows to make inquiry. A wise king scattereth the wicked and bringeth the wheel over them. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Mercy and truth preserves the king, and his throne is upholden by mercy. The glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is the gray head. The blueness of a wound cleanseth away evil, so do stripes the inward parts of the belly. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of waters, he turneth it whithersoever he will. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the heart. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. A high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. The thought of the diligent tend only to plenteous, but of every one that is hasty only to want. The getting of treasure by a lying tongue is a vanity tossed to and fro of them that seek death. The robbery of the wicked shall destroy them because they refuse to do judgment. The way of man is froward and strange, but as for the pure, his work is right. It is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. The soul of the wicked desireth evil. His neighbor findeth no favor in his eyes. When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. And when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. The righteous man wisely considereth the house of the wicked. But God overthroweth the wicked for their wickedness. Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. A gift in secret pacifieth anger, and a reward in the bosom strong wrath. It is joy to the just to do judgment, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. The wicked shall be a ransom for the righteous, and the transgressor for the upright. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. There is treasures to be desired in all in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness and honor. A wise man scaleth the city of the mighty and casteth down the strength of the confidence thereof. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from trouble. Proud and haughty scorner is his name, who dealeth in proud wrath. The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. He coveteth greedily all the day long, but the righteous giveth and spareth not. The sacrifice of the wicked is abomination. How much more when he bringeth it with a wicked mind? A false witness shall perish, but the man that heareth speaketh constantly. A wicked man hardeneth his face, but as for the upright, he directeth his way. There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. The rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple passeth on and are punished. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from him. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower's servant to the lender. He that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger shall fail. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. Cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. He that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. The eyes of the Lord preserve knowledge, and he overthroweth the words of the transgressor. The slothful man saith, there is a lion without, I shall be slain in the street. The mouth of strange women is a deep pit. He that is abhorred of the Lord shall fall therein. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it forth from him. He that oppresseth the poor to increase his riches, and he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want. Bow down thine ears and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge, for it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. They shall withal be fit in thy lips, that thy trust may be in the Lord. I have made known to thee this day, even to thee. Have not I written to thee excellent things in counsel and knowledge? that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that sin unto thee. Rob not the poor because he is poor, neither oppress the afflicted in the gate. For the Lord will plead their cause and spoil the soul of those that spoil them. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. Be not thou one of them that strike hands, or of them that are sureties for debts. If thou hast nothing to pay, why should he take away thy bed from under thee? Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Seest thou man diligent in his business, he shall stand before kings, he shall not stand before mean men. Reading the Proverbs of Solomon, the wonderful things that was in the heart of Solomon, whereas the Bible says that God spoke to him in a night vision, saying, Solomon, I will give thee a wise heart, that thy heart shall be exceedingly wise, as such as no king before thee nor after thee. We've never had a king that ever ruled, that ever had this kind of wisdom. And after Solomon, there was to be no other king that would ever have this kind of wisdom, because this wisdom belongeth to God, and only the Lord Jesus Christ, as he comes to the throne, will possess this kind of wisdom. Solomon being a symbol of the Christ, whereas David was a symbol of the Lord Jesus, then we see in this a wonderful thing where it was so closely knitted together. He's saying that I am a son that was brought up at my father's feet. I want you to notice here in the 16th verse, the man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. Here he tells us in the 30th verse, there is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. You know, there's one thing that I've learned, and that is that there is no counsel, there is no wisdom, there is no understanding against the Lord Jesus. There is none. A man can say what he wants to, and he can do what he wants to, but there is no wisdom, there is no counsel against the Lord. When you have visions, when you have dreams, when you have all of these things that you have to come up in your life, and you've got to go to some brother or sister, and you got to say, thus saith the Lord has told me this, and the Lord's told me that, and you got a word of prophecy, all these kind of things, you bear in mind that there is no wisdom, there's no counsel, there's no understanding against God. Don't ever come to me, don't ever go to a child of God telling him, thus saith the Lord, when you've got a word to say against him, because there is no word against him. There is no counsel against him. And the Bible teaches that no man can lay anything to the charge of God's elect. That is God's body, and there is no wisdom. God gives no wisdom. God gives no counsel to you, nor to any group of people, nor does he give any understanding whatsoever that you should go to a child of God or go to God's people and prophesy against God's people. There is no such thing that comes from God. That's foolishness. There is no wisdom that is against God. And the Bible further states here that the man that wanders out of the way of understanding, that he remaineth in the congregation of the dead. We are simply told here by the statements of Solomon that when a man refuses understanding, when a man knows that he's done wrong and he knows that he's going contrary to God, knows that he isn't doing right, knows that God's displeased with him, and he refuses understanding, though you try to exhort him, though you try to tell him what's right, yet he refuses that because he doesn't like to be corrected, doesn't want anybody to tell him anything. The Bible tells us that that man immediately in the sight of God is placed in the congregation of the dead. That man is numbered among the dead. God has cut him off, and as far as God is concerned, he is dead. The very thing that happened to Adam and Eve in the garden is that they wandered out of the way of understanding. And the very day that they left the counsel of God, the Bible tells us that God spoke to them and said, the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And so it was, when they wandered out of the way of understanding and the knowledge of God, they remained among the congregation of the dead. And it has been that ever since that day, ever since that time, everyone that has ever taken that route or taken that outlook had been in the congregation of the dead. There's never been anyone that ever went that way. But what God did not number them with the congregation of the dead. That is why that I have such delight in the things of God. Jesus said, my words are spirit and my words are life. And it literally thrills my heart to be able to know that there is a knowledge and is an understanding that supersedes my human intelligence and gives me a confidence and gives me that wisdom that I need on the inside to be able to make the right decision and do the right thing through life. I think one of the greatest mistakes that a man ever made is when that man begins to think something of his own self. The Bible said that a man should not think more highly of himself than he ought to, but that that man should think soberly according to the measure of faith that God has dealt unto him. You know, man loves to think of himself as being something. But the greatest mistake he ever made is when he judges himself to be anything. Well, the Bible said when we think that we are something, then are we nothing. When we think that we know something, then we do know nothing. We know not what we ought to know. But when we realize that we are nothing, and that we're trusting in God, and everything that we're going to be able to accomplish in life depends on God and depends on the knowledge of God, then is when we're getting in good shape. A man really hasn't got started in life until he comes to the crossing to where he can die out to self. Until he can realize that he himself is the middle wall of partition that stands between that inner life and God. He hasn't really got started. An old saying that life begins at 40. It takes a man until he's about 40 years old. It takes him that long to realize that he doesn't know anything. And then from the time he's 40, it takes him for the rest of his life to learn what he ought to know. And that is that he shouldn't have done the things that he'd done till he was 40. So then a man doesn't have very much hope in this life, does he? Not very much hope here. It's something when you can sit down and count a man's life on your fingers. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, a week, a month, a year, a few years, 5 years, 10 years. 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, they put him in the tomb. And that's something. A man just stand there and speak him out of existence by a 1, 2, 3. That's something. But you know, there is a life that God will impart unto you that man can't speak out of existence. There is a world that you can become heir to that hath no end. Now you might go one way and I might go another way. But I want you to know that there is a right way and there is a wrong way. And if you go the wrong way, brother and sister, there is no return from that. Once you go the wrong way, you're going to stay down there. Wherever you go, you're not coming back. If you go the right way, you're not coming back. Down at the end of the trail is a reward. There's a place. Like Brother Denny was telling me the other night about a vision that his wife had. It was astounding. I never heard a vision any more astounding. How that they finally went through so much problems, so much bewilderment. But at last arrived at this great, beautiful, wonderful place. You know, that's the paradise of God. That's the way life is. We go through this bramble bush and we go down this trail and we go through this valley. We go across this mountain and we go through this tunnel and we go through all the sorrow and the heartaches and the troubles and woes. And after a while we finally submit to God and get our mind in the Spirit of God and move into the Word of God. And finally our soul finds release from this old body
of terror and this old body of fear and frustration, and we find ourselves in the wonderful Canaan land of God. Find ourselves in a beautiful place of rest. Find a place of contentment, a place of hope, a place that we can settle down in and not be terrified all the time. You know, life in general is just one big terror. Isn't that right? Amen. Solomon said it's just a few days and it's full of trouble. All of it's full of trouble. It doesn't matter if you've got a dollar, if you've got $10,000. That doesn't make any difference. It's just one big mess. That's all this world is. You know, we get the idea that if we had a little money, that would make the difference. If we had a better home, that would make the difference. That we've got problems because we don't have the right connection. We've got problems because we don't have the right kind of home to live in, the right facilities through life. We've got problems because we don't have enough money in this life. We've got problems because we don't have the right wife. We've got problems because we don't have the right husband. We've got problems because our children are not the right children. They're all out of sorts. Isn't that right?
Right.
And we feel like if we just could rearrange all of that, that all of our problems would be over. But friend, I want you to know that if you had the other man's wife, you'd still have problems. If you had the other woman's husband, you'd still have problems. If you had the other family, had those children, you'd still have problems. If you had the other man's money, you'd still have problems. If you had everything that this world had to offer you, you would have more problems than you've got right now. The more that you obtain unto in this life, the more problems that you have. So then, the answer to getting rid of all of your heartaches and sorrow is not getting things of this world. Getting the things of this world will never suffice for having peace of mind and salvation in your heart and in your soul. It's going to take getting right with God. It's going to take making a contact with God and coming into the glorious liberties of the children of God or the sons and daughters of God. Hallelujah. That's why that I'm so thrilled. I didn't make a mistake. Some of you made a mistake, but I didn't make a mistake. When I made my choice, I made Jesus my choice many years ago. And today I'm happy more so than I was when I made it, because I see now that I can see more clearly that it's right than I could when I made it then. So then I'm not sorry that I did. God hath made me happy. I've seen a lot of men make a choice in life. I've seen them go down certain trails. I've seen them do certain things, and they were sorry for what they did. They realized that they made a mistake, but I thank God tonight that God kept me from making the wrong choice. I made the right choice. I claim Jesus. First of all, He will answer when I call. I'm a child of the King. Hallelujah. I'm a royal son of God by birth tonight. And I am thankful because I made the right choice. I sought God. God gave me the right way of life. Then when I found God, I sought God for the right wife. He gave me the right wife. I've never been sorry that I married my companion. I've always known that was the right one. He gave me the right children. I know that they're the right ones for me. We have little problems, but nevertheless, I know that it's right for me. He set me in a certain field of labor. He told me to do a certain thing. I know that it's right for me. I am happy because God hath directed my path. The Bible tells us to acknowledge God in all of our ways, and God shall direct our paths. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. And God will walk with us, and God will help us, and God will tell us what to do. And what we must do is honor God. We must obey God. We must seek God first of all. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all of these other things will be added unto you. Tonight, I'd like to tell the world about Jesus. I'd love to tell them that this is the right way, that this is the way of peace, and this is the way of happiness, and this is the way to eliminate their problems and troubles through life. That striving to get the materialistic values of this world will never suffice nor answer their problem. But brother, I'll tell you one thing. If you ever get Jesus, you've got the answer. If you ever get Jesus, you've got the answer to all of your problems. Hoarding the little dollars, a few dollars that you get, won't ever do it. Trying to lay you up a little nest egg won't ever do it. God will see to it if you're a born again believer. And you try to lay up money when people are starving to death over yonder, people are hungry over here, and people are sick and needy, and you try to lay up money, God will see that something happens in your home every time you do it. And you'll lose everything that you lay up when you should have laid up those things in heaven. God will cause poverty to come. God will cause something to happen. You know, man is not smart at all. Isn't that right? He's not smart. He'll lay up $5,000. Then he'll have a hard spot. Then when the hard spot comes, he doesn't have any work. He can't get anything to eat. And he'll go around and he'll project himself and he'll say, "Now, wife, you see how smart I am? Now, what if I hadn't put that $5,000 in the bank? Where would we be now? Probably with more work." But God, because of your greediness, you laid up for a hard day. So God gave you a hard day. Amen. To get rid of that. But just think, all of that will be gone after the hard day's over. Then you're going to have to call on God anyway. You're going to have to search it out anyway. And then everything that you laid up, it didn't go into heaven. You lost it, beloved friend. It's gone. You lost it because you put it in the tummy. You used it for your own advantage. You used it for a worldly cause. Placed your confidence in the security of this life while the others laid up treasures in heaven. And consequently, one day the others will depart this life and they'll go on to meet God, and everything that they laid up will still be there, but yours will be gone. I love Jesus, don't you? The devil don't like this. You know that? The devil doesn't like this. You know why he doesn't like this? Because it makes him miserable. It makes those that he dwells with so miserable. They get to thinking, you know, well, wait a minute. Maybe what Brother Pike's saying is right. Maybe I better think this thing over. And then the devil, he gets real up. You know, he gets tore up because he's on the inside there. He gets tore up and he thinks, "Oh, I'm about to lose out here. I better do something pretty quick. I better pervert this man's mind. I better pervert this woman's mind. I better do something. Oh, the first news you know, this fellow going to walk off and leave me." Isn't that right? Glory to God. I'm so glad I'm a son of God tonight. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Glory to God, I'm glad I'm a son of God tonight. I'm glad that I have Christ in my heart tonight. My mind is clear, it's not foggy. I'm not all mixed up and messed up in my mind. I'm not guessing, trying to figure this out, or wondering if I made a mistake with this or a mistake with that, or what's going to happen tomorrow, or did I do wrong yesterday? I'm not all clouded up in my mind. But in my mind, in my heart, I'm clear, sharp, filled with the understanding of God. Knowing what tomorrow holds, knowing what yesterday was for, knowing where I'm going, knowing where I've been, knowing what I'm doing, and knowing why that I'm doing it and who I'm doing it for. Glory to God, it makes so much difference. But when you get out there in that foggy world, in that wilderness, and you don't know where to go, and you don't know what to do, and you don't know how to act, and you don't know which way to think or whatever, you're all tore up. You're just all tore up because you're afraid you'll make an investment and you'll lose it. Come on now. You're afraid that you'll invest in something and it'll be the wrong thing and you'll lose it. Well, that very thing right there alone shows you that you're not in touch with God. If you was in touch with God, you'd automatically know the Bible said, "Whatsoever that man doeth shall prosper." Amen. Wherever he puts his investment, if he's walking with Christ, he's going to be blessed. Whatever he does, God's going to bless him in it. For the Bible said, and this man shall be blessed in his deeds, for he shall be like a tree that's planted by the water. He'll bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. It wouldn't matter if he peddled peanuts, it'd prosper. Somebody say, should I be a contractor? Should I be a painter? It don't make any difference what you are. If you'll get in the mind of Christ, you'll prosper at anything you get at. If you be double-minded, the Bible said a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Somebody say amen. Glory to God, it don't matter if you're a carpenter, if you're a painter, whatever you like to do, whatever you want to do, God will work with you in it. If it's in your heart, if that's your desire, if you're happy at that, whatever you want to do, just be just, be fair, be honest, be upright. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All of these things will be added unto you. For the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, addeth no sorrow. I, the Lord, will make thee to ride upon the high places of the earth. I will feed thee with the heritage of Jacob. Brother Pike, I think I better quit contracting because everything looks bad. I heard the banker say such and such, and the president was all trouble. What's that got to do with it? It don't make no difference if the president falls off of the Empire State Building. That ain't got nothing to do with what God said. Glory to God, if they hang every governor in Georgia up by the ears, or every senator that is in the states, rather, or in the Georgia and the different states, every governor by the ear, that don't have anything to do with it. God said in his word that if I walk upright, all of these things will happen around me, but won't come near my dwelling. I haven't got to try to sit down, get every newspaper in the country, try to get every radio program and news commentator's opinion. I don't have to try to get into every banker in the area, talk to them and find out what they think about the situation. That's the trouble with some of you fellas now. You go out here and you talk with the garbage men. Somebody say, I love Jesus. You call them bankers and businessmen, but they're the garbage men according to the Bible. You go out here and you fellowship the garbage men, and the garbage men say, it's looking bad. It's looking bad. And you come back over here to these kings and princes over here and you say, fellas, it's looking bad. It's looking bad. Somebody say, I love Jesus. It does look bad for the garbage men because there's always a stink around. But I'll tell you right now, brother, when you dwell in a palace with God, when you're in heaven with God, it isn't bad at all. What God wants us to do is believe in him. Glory to God, the children of Israel, they mumble and they grumble and they said, if you take us out of Egypt down here, why, we don't know what we'll do. Some of their wise men said, now listen, children, if you go out there, you'll starve to death. They got out there and they got to listening to their wise men and they got to grumbling and the mumbling, and their bankers and their leaders and their governors said, boy, things is looking bad. Things are looking bad. Egypt's getting farther away all the time. They got all nervous. Moses said, what's the problem? Oh, they said, we can't get back to Egypt, Moses. We're in a terrible predicament. Moses said, well, what's the problem? Well, don't you know? Well, we got to have something to eat. Business is looking bad. Prices is going up. Somebody say amen. Eggs might get to where it costs $5 a dozen. It's looking bad. We just have to get more hens. Praise God. But you know what? God didn't like their attitude. And God wanted to know what was the matter with them people. Like the prophecy this morning, thou limit the Holy One. What's the matter with you folks? When God created Israel, did he put them down there in Egypt so that Egypt would have to take care of them? God didn't create them for that purpose. God didn't say, thus saith the Lord, Egypt shall supply all of your needs. He said, I will supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory. Get your little pans ready because the manna's coming down from glory. Glory to God. We sing that song, it's coming down, down, down. Somebody said, wait a minute, Brother Pike, you can't fill your belly with that. I know that, but Moses lived off of it 80 days and was doing fine when he come down off the mountain. Amen. Was in good shape when he come down. Hallelujah. I say, yeah, but I don't think that'd satisfy me. The Bible said in the prodigal would have filled his belly with the huss that the swine eat. But oh, my brother. Glory to God, if we can get a hold of Christ, if we can get a hold of the love of God, if we can believe, we should not be concerned with the things of this world. We should believe in God. It doesn't matter what the world is doing. It's what God is doing. That's what I'm interested in, is what God doing. I don't care what the world does. I'd rather they wouldn't do like they're doing, but if they're going to do like they're going to do, I don't care what they do. Just let me know what God is doing. Amen. Some people, they spend all of their time, their news told her, saying, boy, it's bad. It's bad. I tell you, it really looks rough out there. And he comes around, and here he comes, and here she comes, and somebody's trying to give a dollar to the work of God. It scares them half to death, and they get to trembling. Boy, I tell you what, we better do something here. Maybe we better sell our car. Maybe, you know, today you got a big car, and you got to have a little car. About time you get a little car that's done a change out there, and somebody said, why, them foolish people, what we need is big cars. If you got a big car, you ought to have a little car. If you got a little car, you ought to have a big car. Somebody say amen. Amen. Praise God. Somebody said, but there's a crisis, Brother Pike. I never read in the Bible where God ever had a crisis. He said, I'll supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory. And I never heard of a crisis in glory. Never one. The same God that made this earth put the stuff down there, and he knows where it's at, and he'll give it to us. If we need it, somebody say, well, how you think he's going to do it? I don't know. He may rain it down in snowflakes. I don't know. But there's one thing about it. If we need it, he'll give it to us. I'm confident of that. There's one thing about it. You don't have to take a horse and a buggy up to a gas station. You say, well, they can't get there on time. If there ain't nothing else to do, they can get there on time. If everything else slows down, then the traffic will slow down. Everything else will slow down. If it gets to where I'll have to walk, then you'll have to walk. So the job will have to start at a later time. They'll have to do it a different way. God hasn't got any problems, folks. There's no problems with God. Hallelujah. I was just reading last night, I believe it was Brother James Ellis, he brought me a Talmadge's letter, or somebody brought me Talmadge's letter, whoever it was, I can't remember anymore. James brought me some clippings. But anyway, I was reading Talmadge's letter, how that God has delivered him from all of his adversaries and all the things that was wrong. Delivered him out of them. And Talmadge was saying, I thank you, Mr. President. I'll never forget this as long as I live. May God bless you, Mr. President. Hallelujah. I don't know of nothing Mr. President done. Amen. Before Mr. President said anything, God sent him a letter and told him that he would be with him and supply his needs and help him. Amen. He don't need to be saying thank you, Mr. President. Amen. He needs to be saying thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. What we need to do is to follow Christ. God has his way in the good and the evil. God has his way among the celebrities. Like we said about that queen over yonder, there'll be a change. It'll come to kingship. Maybe it hasn't come yet. I don't know. We spoke of it having to do with Prince Charles. As far as we can tell, he's in line for it. But you say can't be in line for it because it's queens, always been queens. Nevertheless, that's the way it shows to me. One thing about it, God has his way. Whatever God decides, that's what it's going to be. It's not going to be what Queen Elizabeth says about it. It isn't going to be what Prince Charles says about it. It's not going to be what Jimmy Carter says about it. is not going to be what you nor I say about it, but it's going to be what God said about it. Folks, there ain't no crisis. Only to the wicked. While the land that I'm looking at, it's full of milk and honey. And the grapes of Eshcol, how they do shine, and I don't see any shortage at all. Scientists worry about the sun giving out the light that I'm looking at. It looks to be like it'll last for billions and billions of plus billions and billions and billions and billions and billions without end. And I don't even see one place where it looks like it'll ever give out to me. I believe it'll last. Hallelujah. You say, well, what about the sun? Well, I'm not worried about that, because Jesus said, and in that day when that great city comes, it'll have no need for the sun. So their sun can give out. They can whatever they're worried about, that's their business. But the light I'm talking about, children of God, it ain't no deficiency. There's no crisis whatsoever. You know, the sun is just one big ball of gas. And there is a shortage for gas, so it could go out. But I'm glad that this light I'm talking about ain't a big ball of gas. There ain't no crisis. Hallelujah. Ain't you glad that you belong to God? If you are, say amen. Praise God. Some of you don't say that like you really believe you belong to God. I tell you, if you don't belong to God, you better get in touch with God. If you think there's a crisis on, you just wait a little while until God shakes the stars out of the heavens and takes this world and begins to turn it upside down like a teacup, and the mountains begin to split in halves, and the islands begin to go down in the ocean, and the ocean bottom begin to come up. Then you ought to think there's a real crisis on. Hail the size of a talent begins to fall down out of heaven. Fire and brimstone begins to come down out of heaven. Then there'll be a real crisis on. But I tell you what, it ain't going to bother me. It ain't going to bother me. I've already got reservations for a trip. And the flight leaves just before the problem. You love Jesus? There've never been any deficiencies in this flight travel either. No shortage for gas on this one. Hallelujah. You know what? I could really preach. We're just getting started now. Just getting started. But I tell you what, I want you to think over what I'm saying. Get the world off of your mind. Get the world off of your mind. And get your mind off of the world. Get rid of both of them, your mind and the world. Both of them wrong. So why do I have the world on my mind all the time? Because you got the mind of the world. All you got to do is get rid of the mind of the world. You won't have the world on your mind. You're always worried about the world because you got the mind of the world. You get rid of the mind of the world, you won't have any worry about it anymore. It'll be gone. You get the mind of Christ, you'll have your mind on heaven. Let your thoughts be in heaven. Let your conversation be in heaven. Lay up your treasures in heaven. Folks, that's where you ought to be laying up your treasures, in heaven. Glory to God, quit worrying about this down here. If you'd share a little bit with God in prayer, and share a little bit with God in your finance, and share a little bit with God in your testimony, your daily activities, trying to do something for God, you wouldn't be worried about all these things anyway. All right. Well, Brother Pike, you got quite a few buildings around here. You and the brethren, what about all of this? I ain't worried about that. All of this right here, I got in heaven. Did you know that? Every one of these things was built for God. That means he transferred all this over to the glory world. Every bit of that's already over there. I'm just wondering what else we can do down here to get it transferred over. The Bible teaches that his works will be spared. Isn't that right? That your works will be spared. We've done this for God. God take care of all this. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Ain't God good? Ain't got a thing to lose. When you're for Jesus, you can't lose a thing. And when you ain't for Jesus, you done lost everything to start with. Hallelujah. All right, I want you to stand with me. I know you get tired of me hollering at you. But if I didn't holler at you, you might forget. Say, well, I already know them things. Peter said, Lord, though I know these things, I think it's good to stir up my mind. You know, by way of remembrance, I'd love to tell you, brethren, again. Said, I know you know these things. But we forget, you know, we forget. Brother Floyd just talking about that song, Remind Me, O Lord. Said that was his favorite song. Remind me, O Lord. You know, that's good. Remind me, O Lord. If you feel that way, you don't feel bad at the preacher, because that's what he is a reminder, a constant reminder. I might say, yeah, but he's always reminding me of my wrongs. He always reminds you of your inheritance, too. But if you do wrong, you ain't got no inheritance. If you quit doing wrong, you'd be glad when he brings up your remembrance, because you'll have an inheritance. Praise God. You say, yeah, but it upsets me. I'll tell you what, the Bible said them two prophets that's going to come on the earth, they're really going to upset folks. The Bible said when them prophets preach, it literally tormented the people. Them two prophets, it don't sound like these great evangelistic moves of today at all. It don't sound like this charismatic order of today of shouting and a jumping and a hollering and everybody having a hoopie of a time. It don't sound like it at all. The Bible said when them prophets preached that it grieved them people. When Stephen preached, it said they were literally cut to their heart and gnashed on Stephen's. And when them prophets come, it said that the people are literally going to be tormented. Said this Jesus, what are we going to do with him? Well, you want a revival? You have Jesus. But he don't preach the kind of revivals that we like. Paul, he don't preach the kind we like either. Well, what about Peter? Well, he's a jailbird. He don't preach him either. Said that heap to themselves teachers. They have to find somebody. What we need then is another kind. Another kind. But you know there's one thing about it. Everyone God ever sent, he spoke the same thing. He's the same fella. The same Jesus in every one of them. Warning and warning and warning again. Over and over, beloved friend. Not trying to hurt you, but warning you. As dear children in God, be careful. Warning you, there's a great inheritance coming. You can have it. Prince Charming's going through the land. He's got the slipper in his hand looking for Cinderella. She's somewhere. Somewhere. The shoe's going to fit after a while. He's going to find her somewhere. When he does, it's going to fit. When he does, he's going to take her home with him. Because she's going to be his bride. She might have dishpan hands, but nevertheless, she'll belong to him. She'll belong to him. The people are too interested in the world and the refineries of the world and how pretty they can be. But oh, let me tell you something. If you had one look at God's Prince Charming, just one look at him, just one look at him, you'd lose all desire for the world. All desire for everything in this world. You'd lose all desire. But the prince of this world hath blinded your eyes that you cannot see. Therefore you see the things that please your natural eyes. The things that please your natural eyes. Let's sing this little chorus, can we? You love Jesus. Let's sing the little chorus. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. If you really love him and believe in him, then let's sing this chorus. You know what we're trying to do here at Bethlehem? We're trying our very best to tell everybody who Jesus is. You say, who is this Jesus? He's God's Prince Charming. Amen. We're trying our best to tell everybody who he is. And what his desire is and what he's looking for. And he's searching for a bride. The Bible said he would go among the Gentiles to seek a bride. And the thing about it is, we are trying our best to tell the people the kind of qualification that the bride must have. That when he comes by, they will be ready. If not, then they'll be like the ugly sisters. pretty with new frocks, pretty busy in the world, pretty with their refineries, pretty with their businesses, pretty with all of their attire, pretty with their makeup, pretty with everything they were doing. But as the story said, Cinderella was pretty with the dishpan hands. She was pretty as a housewife. She was pretty as a scrub girl. She was pretty in those things that make up a lady. She was so pretty. That's what God is looking for, is some real character. Some real character. Some real character. If you have characteristics of Jesus in your life tonight, then you're all right. If those beautiful characteristics of Jesus show in your life, if they show in your life, God sees those nail-riven hands, the dishpan hands. If the characteristics of Jesus show in your life, Jesus sees those bruised feet that the little glass slipper was made just for. If the characteristics of Jesus show in your life, Jesus, if he shows in your life, God is looking down from heaven and he sees that bruised brow. That bruised brow where they've set the crown of thorns on your head and they've said things against you till your mind has harassed you, fought you, aggravated you, tormented you. Day after day with the conflicts of evil as you wrestle against it, as it accuses, but you won't have any part of it. God sees the heaviness. God sees the wounded side where they placed the spear in you. God sees the bruised back where they've lashed your back, where they've beat upon you. God sees it. Every bruise, every lash, every undermining thing they ever done to you, Jesus shows in your life through that, and God sees it. Let's sing. You love Jesus tonight? Let's just slip our hands up first and love him, can we? I feel the Lord close. Do you feel the Lord close by? I feel him close by tonight. Praise God. Let's just love him for a few minutes. Maybe he'd rather we'd love him just for a minute rather than saying, let's just love him. Father, everybody ought to know who you are tonight. Everyone ought to know your lovely name, Jesus. And Father, tonight, I'm so glad that I do know you, Heavenly Father, not because of my righteousness, but because of your righteousness, Heavenly Father. I love you tonight, Jesus, and I praise you tonight because my confidence is in you that you'll take care of me, Lord of my little family, and dear God, my precious spiritual family, my spiritual children. Lord, that you'll provide for them and for theirs. Lord, that all of their needs will be met. Great and mighty God of heaven, I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, Father. Lord, as you come in our midst and come among us from time to time, may this great Holy Spirit, this loving Spirit, this great Holy Spirit that I feel, Lord, may it be with us. May it be in the hearts of my people. Father, that everyone can love you. Everyone can feel you. Everyone can trust you. Oh, great and mighty God of heaven and of earth, thou who hast made us, thou who doth look down upon us. Father, you that supplies all of our needs according to your riches and glory. Father, when there was no food in the land, you fed the little widow. Father, when there was no food for the wilderness, you rained it down from heaven. Father, when there was no water in the wilderness, you brought it forth from the rock, Father. And tonight, our trust and confidence is in you, Father. We're trusting you, the great Spirit of the living God that we feel. Holy One, we do worship thee in spirit tonight. We do worship thee in the spirit of holiness tonight. May the spirit of holiness possess our bodies. May it possess our minds. Oh, great Father of spirit tonight. Father, possess our bodies. Possess our minds. Possess our souls tonight, great Father. Oh, move in our midst through the name of your loving Son, Jesus. Father, to save and to heal. Father, to forgive, to resurrect from the dead, to direct, to watch over our people, our children, our loved ones, our friends, save our enemies, Father. Lord, move through this great state of Georgia, Lord. Father, bless. Move through the great United States and throughout the world tonight. Father, and set everything in order. I pray in the name of Jesus tonight that people would be healed throughout the world. Oh God, by your great love and leadership, oh great and mighty God, I do love you in Jesus' name. I do love you in Jesus' name. Father, may we be blessed tonight. They came and they were blessed, the Holy Scripture tells us. Those that have come, may they be blessed, Holy Father. May they be blessed. Only by thy Spirit, not by power might, but by thy Spirit, Holy Father. Lord, help us in Jesus' name to bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ. May we dwell together in unity. Oh God, not only to come together in the Spirit, Father, and in the gifts of the Spirit, but in the order of the Spirit according to thy divine word, O Heavenly Father, that we might do things to edifying, to the strengthening of thy people. Oh, Heavenly Father, be with us in Jesus' name. Be with us in Jesus' name. Praise God. Brother Ed McKenzie came today. He said he had had a vision or dream about us. He said it was a real unusual thing, said he. He saw us somewhere, he couldn't tell where, but he said it was a huge building that looked like 2,000 seating capacity or a few thousand people or whatever it was. Said it was an enormous thing, and I wasn't up preaching like I am standing here, but said it was a big, huge screen that appeared to be about 7 feet tall or something. And said that I was ministering to the people. Such huge place and people. But he said, well, my, said, things has changed, so. But everything seemed to be so wonderful, he said, and so in order. And said the people seemed to be so concerned that the wonderful things of God was getting over to them so beautifully. All of them were so moved in the things of God. You know, the Lord is doing something, isn't he? God is doing something. Let's sing that chorus everybody ought to know, can we? Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. He's the lily of the valley, and he's the bright and morning star. Oh, he's the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Can you sing with me? Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell.